Hallelujah. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a good night to die.
What?
Die? Yeah, die. Die to yourself. How many of y'all know you were born to die? You were sent into this realm to die. Wasn't Jesus sent into this realm to die? Well, what makes you think you're any better than him? Hello. So we were sent in this realm to die that we can be qualified as citizens of eternity. Is everybody all right? Well, nobody ran out, so we're okay so far. That's why Jesus said something very profound and important. He said, you must lose your life to save it. In other words, you got to die. He said, what good is it to save your life and lose your soul? So we were born to die. Now, we were born to die in this arena, but Jesus gave us the guideline. He says, listen, if you'll die to yourself, you'll live forever. If you die to yourself, you will live forever. So in this process, he says, if you'll deny yourself, you'll pick up your cross and follow me. Now you'll be known as my disciple. See, there's a lot of people who say they believe, but they really don't follow. And in this, God is requiring us to follow in his footsteps, follow in his ways. So, you know, even in that song that we were singing about being warriors, well, that we're warriors because we are counted already dead. It's amazing how many people are still fighting for their life. It's because they're not sold out yet. When you're sold out, you no longer fight for your life. Does everybody understand? When you are sold out, you no longer fight for your life. If you're still fighting for your life, it's because you're not sold out. Well, I really believe I'm... No. Jesus said, deny yourself. If you cannot deny yourself, if you're still fighting for your life, then you're not sold out. Does everybody got it? And this is how we test ourselves. If I'm not sold out, then I'm still fighting for my life. The word says, what can man do to you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and cursed is the man who trusts in man. Whoa. You mean I'm cursed if I trust in myself? You betcha. You're your worst enemy. What do you mean? I thought the devil was. Yes, but he uses self. That's why Jesus required that we deny ourselves, because he knows the devil uses self. God doesn't communicate with self. He communicates with his child. So if you're still fighting for your life, it means you're not sold out yet. And we must get to a place where we are totally sold out. We're not about a man pleaser, but we're a God pleaser. We're not fighting for our life, but we're fighting for the life of Christ that's in us. Because the devil wants to deny the life of Christ in you. Everybody okay? So in this, God has given us the weapons of warfare. He's given us the anointing, the eternal presence of God, the truth, the power. He's given us all of these things. One of the things that the body of Christ lacks is to go get them. They lack in going getting them. Why? Because too much are still involved in their flawed belief system. And when there's a flawed belief system, there's a flawed perception. So their words are, well, Jesus knows my heart. Yes, he does, and he's trying to expose it to you. Why? He wants to reveal to you whether you are sold out or not. Because let me tell you, the storm that is coming, you've got to be sold out to get through. And there is a storm that is coming that only those who are God pleasers are going to be able to press through it. Those who are men pleasers will be thrown aside. and get taken up. This is where God is going to test us. See, everybody's being tested right now. There's a tremendous testing. There's more and more testing going to come. I'm telling you, there's a test on the right, on the left, in the front, and the back, everywhere. There's testing that God is doing because he's got to move quickly, because we've got to be ready before the storm hits. And he wants to make sure that you're not going to get misled when he blesses you, that you become a servant to the blessing instead of a servant to the blesser. Would you turn to Psalm 11, please? Let's all read this together, Psalm 11. Is everybody there? Verse 1, let's make confession. Now remember, what you speak is what you eat, right? What you speak is what you eat. So we're going to speak this out because we want to get fed. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly the what? Upright in heart. That they may shoot secretly. In other words, it's an unseen enemy that's shooting arrows at you. That's called the voice of the stranger, fiery darts. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. Whoa, wait a minute now. He tests the sons of men. Look at the next verse. The Lord tests the what? Well, just because you are righteous, don't think you ain't going without testing. The righteous get tested. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, his countenance beholds the upright. In other words, the Lord, he tests your trust in him. He tests your trust in him. He tests your trust in him. And how does he do that? When the wicked attack you. He tests your trust in him when you are attacked by the wicked, because he wants to know whether you're going to react according to the flesh or respond according to the spirit. This is how we are tested. He tests the righteous. He knows. See, because until we pass certain tests, he holds back things. Because there's other things that he has planned for you, but he can't put you in there until you pass tests. Now, nobody fails the test, you just get retested. He goes, okay, let's do this one again. The thing is you never know when it's going to come. And the enemy loves to attack you by surprise. Surprise! It's me. I'm back. And the enemy loves to attack you by surprise. And God tests you again to see if you can pass. If you can't pass, you get tested again. He cannot place you in a position that you have fulfilled so many tests. Are you listening? Too many people try to get in that position and bypass God of the test, and he watches them, and they usually bring shame to his name because he didn't place them there. They did. James chapter 1. Hello? James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. My brethren, go ahead, everybody look at each other. Hi, brethren. My brethren, go ahead, tell your brethren, count all joy when you fall in the various trials. Go ahead, tell them. Yeah. Now, it didn't say if you fall. It says when you fall into a various trial. How are you going to fall into a various trial? Listen, nobody jumps in them. I don't know one person that jumps into a various trial on purpose. Unless he's an idiot. Hello. It says when you fall into various, how you fall into various trials, you get attacked by the wicked one that's been pulling that little Cupid bow that carries lust. It's amazing how many people love, they celebrate Valentine? Goodness gracious, this is the most demonic day there is besides Halloween. For those that are not married, it promotes lust. Hello. And those little demons fly around. Bing. Oh, I need sex. Well, they want to fulfill that feast. It's a feast of perversion. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, sometimes it's a reminder for some married couples that, oh, you know, honey, I do love you. That's not a very good witness, though, is it? For those who are walking with right with God, it should be all the time. You know, people celebrate Christmas one day a year. You and I should celebrate it every day. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on, instead of just Easter. Feast of First Fruits. For me and you as believers, it's not just one day a week that's a Sabbath day. Every day is a Sabbath day because we rest in the Lord. See, there's a difference, isn't there? So you and I are going to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. Why? Because test time. Test number 4,522. Knowing that the what? Testing of your faith produces what? Patience or what? Endurance. So you're going to be tested because you need to get through the storm that's coming. God always tests you for what's coming. He prepares you. He challenges you in this. In verse 4, but let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So that you are not lacking anything. Do you understand that? What do you mean, lacking nothing? Right. God is going to allow these trials to come so that you are trained, so that you overcome, and so that you don't lack anything, because no matter what comes, you know that he's going to bring you through. You can endure all things through Christ who strengthens you. What's he doing? He's building a testimony. Well, I got one. Well, he's building a testimony. More. More. Listen, a testimony is not just one-time event. He begins to add on that event. He's building a testimony in your life. And the bigger he starts building around your testimony. He starts expanding your testimony. You know why? Because there are times when you're going to have to fall on your testimony so your testimony carries you back to the presence of God. Hello. David cried out, I remember when he went through trials, he said, I remember. What was he doing? He was falling on his testimony so he could carry it back to the presence of God. Oh, so God is building the testimony. Well, wait a minute. So all of these trials you're going through is so that you don't lack, that you don't lack what? You don't lack wisdom. You don't lack understanding. You don't lack how to stand. You don't lack endurance. You don't lack anything. You don't lack faith. Faith. You don't lack vision. You don't lack the reverence of God. There's things that you maintain. Go to Exodus 20. So what's God doing? He's building your what? Your testimony. Now I said all that to go here. Exodus chapter 20. In verse 18. Sometimes you have to fall on your testimony so it carries you back to the presence of God. In verse 18, would you read it with me? Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." It's amazing that God was revealing himself to them, and everybody booked. Except for Moses. Everybody wanted to see God, know God, hear God, and they ran when he showed up. In verse 20, and Moses said to the people, "Don't fear, for God has come to what? Test you. That his fear," now the fear of the Lord is respect, reverence, and honor to him. "That his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin or have fellowship with darkness, or that you may walk away from it." Sin is darkness. It's fellowship with darkness. It's evil presence. In verse 21, so the people stood afar off, but Moses what? Drew near the thick darkness where God was. It's amazing how many people run from God instead of running to him. Moses ran to him. And the Lord said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourself." You know, I'm going to share something with you. It's amazing in how many commercials are on TV now trying to sell gold. People don't realize it because they can't see it all the way through. They're looking at gold to get them through the things that are coming. But the Lord says, throw your silver and gold in the street and it's not going to be worth nothing. So they're actually promoting gold to become a god. "Well, it's a good investment." Listen, you can't out-invest anything than investing in the kingdom of God. You want stock? Buy stock in the kingdom. There's eternal benefits too. In verse 24, "An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone, for if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it." Why? Because it would be built out of man. He wants what he created. "Nor shall you go up by the steps." In other words, you can't build steps to my altar, "that your nakedness may not be exposed on it." So Moses drew near to God while others ran away. God tested his people at the mountain. In other words, he wanted them to reverence him and respect him. That's called the fear of the Lord. So God spoke from the mountain. Does everybody see this? And when God spoke from the mountain, there was an impartation to those people. And it was called the fear of God. And in hope that they would not fellowship with darkness. But he tested them, didn't he? Go to Exodus 25. Exodus 25. And verse 8. And remember, God spoke from the mountain, right? Frightened the people. And hope that he'd impart fear to them so they would not fellowship with evil. And then he says to him, he says in verse 8, "Let them make me a what? Sanctuary that I may dwell among them." So no longer was he going to speak from the mountain, he was going to speak in their midst. "According to all that I show you," this is he's speaking to Moses, "that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just as you shall make it. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height." So before he's building this temple called the tabernacle, he tells them first to build an ark, which is known as the Ark of the Covenant, but it's also called another name. In verse 11, and you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it and shall make on it a molding of gold all around. You shall cast four rings of gold for it and put them in its four corners. Two rings shall be on one side and two rings on the other. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. You shall put into the ark the what? Testimony. Now listen, they didn't have a testimony yet. Are you listening? But God, they didn't even have a sanctuary yet. And the Lord says, listen, let's build the ark first. Okay, I want you to start building the ark, and then I'm going to put on the testimony. Is everybody with me? I'm going to build the ark, then I'm going to put in the testimony, then we're going to bring the ark with the testimony into the sanctuary. Everybody okay? Okay. In verse 17, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work, you shall make them at the ends of the mercy seat. And 1 cherub at one end, and the other cherub at the other end. And you shall make the cherubim at the ends of one piece with the mercy seat. So they'd be on top, so you have the ark. And then on top would be called a mercy seat with the 2 cherubims facing each other, and their wings would be touching. Verse 21, you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. He didn't give it to him yet. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, above everything which I will give you, and the commandment to the children of Israel. So the Ark of Testimony, and that's tonight's teaching. It's called the Ark of Testimony. So the Ark will carry the things that God tested man to establish the testimony of the Lord's power, of the Lord's goodness, and the Lord's mercies. In other words, he's going to still test man, and by testing man, it's going to create a testimony, but it's going to be a testimony of God's power, God's goodness, and God's mercy. Is everybody okay? Because he is a living God. One of the things that God brings us into testimonies is so that we know he's real. See, so many times people answer their own prayers and they never really have this testimony what God has done. Because they answer their own prayers and they never give God the opportunity to build a testimony in their life. And that's where the enemy comes in and shoots the arrow of anxiousness. Anxiousness. And what anxiousness does is move a person out of position and they miss God. Anxiousness. It's also known as fear. Go to Exodus 26 and verse 30. So what was the first thing the Lord said to build? The ark. And he now, remember, it didn't have the testimony in it. Because the Israelites hadn't gone through stuff yet. Exodus 26 verse 30. And he says, and you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, scarlet thread and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. You shall hang it upon the 4 pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. The hook shall be gold upon 4 sockets of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps. And then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy place. So, Remember that the tabernacle was built of three chambers, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Now, the holy place and the most holy place was actually known as the sanctuary. It was covered. But the outer court was not covered, because the outer court was covered by the sacrifice of the blood. The sanctuary was covered by the glory of God, even though it had a covering. Is everybody with me? But I want you to grab hold of something, because the holy place and the most holy place is actually considered the sanctuary. Again, the outer court is covered by the blood of the sacrifice. In the body, the outer court is known as the flesh. And it's the flesh that sins, right? And in this, the sanctuary, which is the holy place and the most holy place, they're divided, but one must be fulfilled to enter the other. Come on, get this. You cannot access the most holy place without fulfilling the holy place. Does everybody get it? Okay. Now, in verse 34, you shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and you shall put the table on the north side. So again, the tabernacle, make it tabernacle. In other words, three chambers, outer court, holy place, most holy place. The only places that were covered was the holy place and the most holy place. And the outer court was covered by the blood. Is everybody with me? Now I'll go to Joshua. And where was the ark put? In the most holy place. Now remember, the testimonies haven't been put in the ark yet. But the ark was put in the most holy place. Is everybody okay? In Joshua 4, in verse 15, Joshua 4, 15. Did I lose anybody yet? Everybody okay? Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the what? Priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Now listen, who carried the ark? The priests. That's why the holy place is known as priesthood. See, the outer court is not priesthood. The outer court is known as salvation. The holy place is known as where you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you become a priest. Why? Because a priest ministers to the Lord. The outer court was, they just offered up sacrifices, didn't they, for sins. They just killed animals and blood was all over the place. And only the priest could enter the sanctuary, which is the holy place and the most holy place. And they were the only ones that were allowed to carry the ark. Because the only way to access the most holy place is to fulfill priesthood. And they were the ones that were carrying the ark. Okay. In verse 17, Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Why? Because when the priests were getting ready to cross over the Jordan, they picked up the ark. Immediately, they touched the water. Dry land appeared because they were carrying the ark of testimony. Why? Because wherever that ark went, there was a testimony of what God's power, his goodness, and his mercies. Now, the priests carried the ark across the Jordan, and as soon as they stepped on dry land, everything was refilled with water again in the Jordan. Let's go a little further. Verse 19. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Understand, wherever the ark was going, it was always creating the testimony. Is everybody okay? So who carried the ark of the testimony? The priests. Amen? Again, for us to be able to maintain accessing the most holy place, you must maintain priesthood. There will be many believers who have died who've never touched the most holy place. There will be many who've never even gotten a holy place. They stayed in the outer court of salvation, and they only knew the language of salvation. They didn't know the language of priesthood. They didn't know the language of tongues. They didn't know the language of warrior. Because those are the three places. The outer court is salvation. The holy place is priesthood. The most holy place is warrior, or what we call king. And that's where the anointing's there. Now, remember that it's the ark of testimony, right? So everywhere it went be testimony. It created a testimony. You know, I was looking at this, and we know that we're being tested, aren't we, right? And you are being tested for a ceremony of celebration. You are being tested for a ceremony of celebration of God's greatness. You're being tested for a ceremony of celebration for God's greatness. It's a ceremony of testing. That's why we call it testimony. Hello. Praise God. Psalm 81. Psalm 81. So next time you look at the word testimony, you say, it's a ceremony of celebration because I'm being tested. And now I'm going to get a testimony. So the next time you go in your trials, just know that God's just building your testimony. Why? Because you're going to have to fall in it sometimes to carry you back to the presence of God. Psalm 81, in verse 3. Would you read it with me? Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon on our solemn feast day, for this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a what? Now, didn't Joseph have a powerful testimony? Come on, he was put in prison, sold by his own brothers, and he went through all the way, didn't he? And where did he end up? The second most powerful man in the world. This he established in Joseph a testimony when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not what? Understand. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder, and I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth, and I will what? I will fill it. Open your mouth, and I will fill it. So remember, the Lord sent Joseph to establish a testimony. And the reality that there is a true God, we are being built up as a testimony. Do you understand this? You and I are now becoming the ark of testimony. Go to Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Now, where is the ark placed? In the most holy place. And how do you access it? In the holy place. Fulfilling your priesthood, you're in. Isaiah 8, verse 16. Would you read it with me, please? Isaiah 8:16. Bind up the what? Testimony. Seal the law among my what? Oh. Bind up the testimony. Do you have a testimony? How did you get it? Through your what? Through your trials. Hello. Testimonies don't, you don't get a testimony in the mail. You didn't get a certificate of testimony. Oh, I got a certificate of testimony. Well, what happened? I don't know. I just got a certificate of testimony. No, you get a certificate of testimony by your trials. Has everybody got it? Nothing comes without testing. That's why it's called testimony. He says, bind up the testimony, seal the law, or the word, or what we call the eternal voice. Bind up the what? The testimony. Seal the law among my who? Disciples. And I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob. I will hope in him. Here I am, the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for what? Signs and wonders. Not only in Israel, but to the world. Why? Because we are to now become the ark of testimony. Does everybody get this? Well, you're supposed to be a sign and wonder. Well, how can you be a sign and wonder without a testimony? You can't. From the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. Yes. Just like the ark. We're to be signs and wonders. It says, bind up the testimony and seal the law, the eternal word, to my disciples. That they may be what? A sign and wonder. See, the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. It's a shadow of things to come. That's why Jesus, when he came, he said, I'm the way, truth, and life, because he was now the tabernacle. He was the three chambers. The Word tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that there are three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and three witnesses on earth. And that's the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And those are the tabernacles of God in heaven. And then he came on earth, and he became the tabernacle. And he showed us how to walk upright. He showed us what to do. He was the eternal voice. He was the eternal power and the eternal presence. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 5. When Jesus told him that the temple would, he would destroy it and raise it up in 3 days, they had no comprehension. Because he wasn't speaking about materialism. 1 Samuel chapter 5. Verse 1, now the ark of the covenant was taken by, or the ark of testimonies, same thing, was taken by the Philistines. They had defeated Israel and taken the ark. In verse 1, it says, then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Dagon was their pagan god. That's who they worshipped. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in a place again. And when they rose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of its hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any who came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod to this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. Why? Because his presence, the ark of the testimony, was there. Let me tell you something. You have no idea if you are fulfilling your priesthood and how you irritate demons wherever you walk. You irritate them. They can't stand you. Especially if you start clapping and praising God. Woo, man, they're gone. They can't handle it. Let's go to verse 7. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, yeah, they were all struck with tumors, and their god they worshiped lost his head. His hands were cut off. The ark of God of Israel must not remain with us, they said, for his hand is harsh toward us and Dagon, our God. I mean, come on, don't you think that, hello, maybe we need to change our worship? Therefore, they sat and gathered to themselves all the lords of the Philistines and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of God of Israel be carried away to Gath. So they carried the ark of God of Israel away. And so it was after they had carried it away that the hand of the Lord was against the city with very great destruction. And he struck the men of the city, both small and great, and tumors broke out on them. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron. So Gath no longer survived the presence of God either. So it was that the ark of God came to Ekron that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought the ark of the God of Israel to us to kill us and our people. Again, please comprehend this and grab hold. This is what the powers of darkness look at you. You think they're going to tell you that? You think they're going to send you a letter in the mail saying, you know what, I really fear the presence of God in you? No, because they always want to mess with your head to try and convince you that you're not powerful. But the Bible says he was in us is greater than he was in the world. But again, you must maintain priesthood. Do you understand this? You must maintain priesthood to continue carrying that presence. And verse 11, so they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go back to its, where? Home place. So that it does not kill us and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. Wow. And how do you maintain? Listen, this was a warrior state. Do you understand this? God was expressing a warrior state. He was doing warfare. He was knocking down the altars, wasn't he? He was destroying things. He was bringing plagues. That's called warfare. And that's what comes out of the most holy place. Warfare. But to access the most holy place, you must fulfill priesthood. And again, too many individuals in the body of Christ are content with salvation chambers. And it's too close, too dangerous to outer darkness. Your safest place is in the most holy place, isn't it? Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 91. And the most holy place is known as the secret place. The Ark of Testimony. So what's God building in your life? A testimony. So quit answering your own prayers. And let God build a testimony. In verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the what? Most High. Why does it say Most High? Because it's the most holy place. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow of the Almighty is under the cherubim wings. I will say of the Lord, my refuge. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the prevalence of pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that flies by day. Those are the voice of the strange old arrows, the ones that we talked about. Pew. Nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may what? fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall what? Befall you. So why does evil befall people? Because they let it. They agree with it. Does everybody got it? You know, the enemy cannot access the most holy place. So he screams outside.
Hey, you in there.
He tries to get your attention. He tries to get you out of the most holy place into the holy place. And he tries to get you in the outer courts so he can give you a secret note. And then people read the note. And they agree. And the next thing you know, that person is stuck and in trouble. And they have forsaken their priesthood. Because a priest ministering to the Lord must have a pure heart and clean hands. You can do all the ministering to the Lord as a priest without a pure heart and clean hands. It's not accepted. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels what? Charge over you. Okay, would you rather have the demons charge over you or angels? Hello? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, does it? To keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Why? Because as you're maintaining priesthood, your testimony is expanding. And your access, the most holy place, where the Ark of Covenant is, and in the Ark of Testimony, a testimony has been placed. Has everybody got it? Of the greatness of God, His goodness, and His mercy. Glory to God. Go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. How many of y'all want to be the Ark of Testimony? How about the spark of testimony? Start some fires. Hebrews 9, and verse 1. Then indeed, even the first covenant that had ordinances of divine service and earthly sanctuary, for a tabernacle was prepared, that's what we talked about, the first part, and in which the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the what? Sanctuary. This is the holy place. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the what? Holiest of all, or the most holy place. Which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, or testimony, overlaid on all sides with gold, and which were the golden pot that had the what? Manna. Okay, this is what was in it. What was in the Ark of the Testimony? The manna. Now, why is this in the Ark of the Testimony? Because this was the greatness of God and what He did for the Israelites. He fed them from heaven. And He put it in the Ark as a testimony. Aaron's rod that budded, He set government and established priesthood. Because only the priests had access to the most holy place. This was a testimony. And, of course, what had happened was the rod of Aaron budded almonds. And God showed them that He had chose Aaron to be the priest and the Levites. And the tablets of the what? Covenant, which was known as the Ten Commandments, that was written on stone by the finger of God. Has everybody got it? These were all supernatural things that happen so that there could be a testimony of God's greatness, His goodness, and His mercy, and they were placed in the Ark of Testimony covered with the mercy seat where the two cherubim faced each other. And the glory of God surrounded it, dwelt there. Remember, God spoke to the people the first time from a mountain and they ran. Now He would speak to them through the tabernacle. And then the tabernacle will become flesh and dwelt among us. And we would hear that eternal voice. And then he paid the price for me and you so that we could access the tabernacle. Oh, glory. Woo-hoo. In verse 5, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. And of these things we cannot speak in detail. These were the articles in the Ark of Testimony because they were supernatural. Hebrews 8 and verse 7. Hebrews 8 and verse 7. Let's read this together. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant, I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my what? Laws. Where? In their hearts. Now, wait a minute. Weren't the laws in the Ark of Testimony? The tablets? What did he say? I'm going to take them out of there, and I'm going to put them in their hearts. Why? Because he's going to make us the Ark of Testimony. And I will put it in their mind and write them on their what? Heart. So he's going to take the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh that his laws would be in it already. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Go to Ezekiel 36. Everybody okay? Are you getting this? So while you go through all of this stuff, hardships, pressures, all kinds of things that the enemy is bringing to you, remember, God does know. Believe me, he doesn't know. Don't think that God doesn't know you're being attacked. He knows. But he's going to use it to build a testimony. That's why he says, man, just count it joy. Sometimes he has to say, shut up and count it joy. Why? Because what you're speaking, you're eating. Hello. Ezekiel 36:23. Again, there is a storm coming. A very strong storm. And we are getting prepared. There will be this time of blessing and prosperity so that we can fill our barns and our storehouses. But we have, as individuals must be prepared to get through the storm. The purpose of the prosperity and blessing isn't to build our empire. It is to expand the kingdom of God and be prepared to rescue those who are in need. In verse 23, would you read it with me? And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am what? Hallowed in you before their eyes. In other words, when he is in you living, when you are carrying his fear of reverence, honor, and respect, when he is hallowed in you. In other words, you have a testimony. Amen? Because you are now the Ark of Testimony. For I will, verse 24, for I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Listen, every one of us here is from a different nationality. We are from a different nation. But God has placed us into a land. Let me share something with you. Where God places you is called your Jerusalem. This is your Jerusalem now, until the eternal Jerusalem comes. And out of Jerusalem, you can reach the world. So wherever God places you, that's where you stay. Do you understand that? Until he moves you. But in that where he places you, it is your Jerusalem. And you move out of Jerusalem to the rest of the world. And he says, I will take you from all countries. Well, look at, not every one of us came from Italy or Ireland. We've come from all over the world. We've got the whole world right here in this room. But he's placed us in the land he has set for me and you at this time in this generation. No matter how you got here, you got here. In verse 25, he said, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all of your idols. And I will give you a what? I will give you a what? A new heart. And put a what? New spirit within you. Woo-hoo. And I will take the what? Heart of stone. What was the heart of stone? The tablets. Does everybody got it? He turned it into a what? And I will give you a what? Heart of flesh, and I'll write my laws in your mind and in your heart, right? And I will put my what? My spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness. And I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase of your fields, so that you need never again be the reproach of famine among the nations. How many of y'all want to be that? It's available for you. You must fulfill priesthood. This is not a joke. This is not an assumption. You don't want to be just a salvation. Look at, salvation is the beginning. It isn't the end. We need to get out of the outer court and into the holy place. And we need to maintain priesthood in the holy place so we have access to the most holy place where your testimony constantly being built. And God is establishing in all of your trials, everything you're going through is just constantly expanding the testimony. So when all of these trials come and these big storms come, if you fall, you're going to fall into the testimony. And your testimony is going to pick you back up and bring you to the presence of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So we became the ark that's got legs now. So the Ark of the Covenant has legs. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, this is a faithful saying, if a man or woman desires a position of a bishop or what we call an overseer, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband or wife of one, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. There's a lot of people that want to be in authority, but they can't do these things. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetousness. Sounds like they're dead. Praise God. One who rules his own house well. That's this house first, your temple, and then your home, your live. Having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how is he going to take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same, what? Condemnation as the devil. Verse 7, moreover, he must have a what? A what? A good testimony. He must have a good testimony. Among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So in this to become an overseer, you're going to have to go through trials so that you have a good testimony. Revelation 12. Hallelujah. Revelation 12, verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon And his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the what? The blood of the Lamb. And now, wait a minute, what part was the blood shed? The outer court. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their what? Now, where was that established? Most holy place. And they did not what? Love their lives to death. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 19. In verse 9. And the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. The what? True sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Wow. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Because you are speaking things in future. And I want to close in Revelation 20, in verse 4. Let's read it. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be what? They shall be what? Priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Who's reigning with him for 1,000 years? Priests. Has everybody got it? Who? In this, that's why it's so important that we fulfill priesthood. In this is where, that's why it's so important that we minister to the Lord in worship. In this, that's why it's so important as we allow God to build a testimony in our life. These testimonies are supernatural things that God does in our life. And as he does these things in our life, they begin to build up. And anytime you're going through stuff, you can always lean back on that testimony. Fall on that testimony, which will carry you back to the presence of God. That's if you fall on the testimony and not on your vomit. Because the Bible says those who go back to their old ways go back to their own vomit. One will bring you back to the presence. One will bring you to the presence of evil. Again, there is a strong storm coming. Remember, you were born to die. And your last breath is the beginning of new life. Just think about it. You don't have to wear scuba gear anymore when you go, you know. You don't have to, you know, I mean, awesome when we go home. So count yourself dead to self and alive in Christ. And become the ark of testimony. Fulfill your priesthood, maintain it with a pure heart and clean hands. And carry your witness of the testimony of who you are in Christ and Christ in you. Tell the world. Tell your children. Because time is running out. Father, we thank you for your word and we are honored and blessed. You are awesome and you are mighty and you are true. I pray, Father, that each and every one in this room will receive revelation, impartation, and increase their testimony. That they will run to you. That they will count it all joy as you bring us through another trial. That we may be tested and found worthy. And that we may be tested and found faithful. That in everything that we do, we may gain your trust and not lose it. But that we would bring glory to your name. Holy Father, continue to draw us and hide us in the secret place. Grant us access in every area that we may dwell in your presence forever, ever, and ever. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.